I wonder if we really, really understand when we worship the one and only, the living God, how he feels. I was just overwhelmed. Tears were just streaming down my face as I realized what our worship means to him. And how we join heaven around the throne. How it lifts us. And that's often what we think about, is how it lifts us. Somehow or other this morning, and I thank you so much for your sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. It took me personally into another realm of knowing how Father felt about you and me. I once asked him a very little time ago, when he was in Genesis chapter 1 and he was looking and it was wasted, it was a mess, it was empty, and it was void. And I asked him, why didn't you turn away? You had all the angels praising you. You had heaven most beautiful. And you know what he said? He said, I wanted more children. I didn't want just one son. I wanted many. I wanted sons and daughters that I could lavish my goodness upon, show my love to, in a measure that they could never, ever have dreamed of. And when he created and he spoke, let there be, it wasn't ordinary light that came. It was the glory light that came. And in a measure, that glory light has touched me this morning. Because 3 days later, the sun, the moon, and the stars were created. The glory light of the presence of the glorious God was what was there first. And it has to be there first in our lives as well. And when it's first, when he lifts us up to a place that we've never been before, we melt, but he melts as well. Oh, if only we knew what our praise did for him. We wouldn't be thinking about whether it aches when I lift my hands or when I'm exhausted or how I feel, where I'm sitting or who I'm sitting next to or what you've left behind you in your family or your week. I tell you, those things lifts are lifted above because of the joy of knowing that we're pleasing him. And as I wept before him in that worship just now, he said to me, I know the pain. I know the hurts. I know the struggles. I know the unsolved issues. But I'm your answer. I have already given that answer. And when I connect with you today, those things can be lifted completely out of your lives, lifted out of your perspective, until you see things differently. How many people have had a challenge this week? Just look around you. Do you know the lie you've believed is that only you? Isn't it true? We feel it's only us. It's not true. We believe lies. And God wants us to believe the truth, that He's our answer. Just keep your hand up if you've had a challenge this week, okay? And I'm here with you. Wednesday, I didn't think I'd be here this weekend. So will you stand up with me? I'm asking you to stand with me if you've had a challenge this week. Oh my, no wonder God weeps. No wonder. Let's lift our challenges to Him. Let's give them over to Him and say, Lord, they're not my portion. I've received this challenge this week, this difficulty this week, and I felt alone, and I've tried to praise You. I've tried to do the right things, but this morning, I'm giving it over to You in the name of Jesus. I break the lies of Satan. I break the things that have been put upon you, the portion that is not yours. Let it go in Jesus' name. Let it go in Jesus' name. Throw it away. Come on, throw it away. And if you've got nothing to throw away, praise God, pray for people that have in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now what do? We do it by faith. And we say, thank You, Father. Thank You that You're a good, good Father. Thank You that You've taken my pain. You've taken my hurt. You've taken my situation. If you don't give it to Him, then you can carry it with you and go out of this auditorium today, and you can still carry it with you. But if you give it to the Lord, you don't have to have it anymore in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. Thank You that You're a good, good Father. Hallelujah. Amen. It's done me good. Just praise the Lord. Just give Him a... By faith! We're walking by faith. Hallelujah. Woo! Oh, my. There's something about meeting with God. There's something that stirs my spirit heavenward. Oh, my. Well, some of you look excited and some of you don't. Well, let me give you the excitement, because God's excited about what He's going to do. I honor Trevor. I honor Juanita and Terry. I honor the leaders here. I'm so blessed to be here. And some of you might not know that we've been put up in the Orwell Hotel. Is that what you call it? And when we walked in there last night, we said, oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, look, yeah, I mean, yeah. Do you know, that's what heaven is going to be like. You're going to say, oh, wow, oh, wow. But a million times better than that, a million times better. Amen? God wants to wow us this morning with His goodness. And way back in the summer, every message that comes to a preacher, I really believe, has to be something that's internalized and it's experienced, because it becomes life to us and it becomes life to you, okay? And I had 5 seemingly impossible situations that were getting to the 11th hour and 59 seconds. They were 5 of them. I'm praising God through every situation. I'm thanking Him. I'm doing the right thing. Praising Him beforehand, okay? Praise Him before you see the answers, don't you? It says in Romans 4:17, you call things that are not as if they are, okay? And I'm doing all the right things. And nada. That's Spanish, nothing. And then I woke up on this particular morning and I had a phone call. One thing totally changed out the blue. That within 2 hours, five impossible situations had absolutely transformed completely. Now, can you guess how I was then? I'm saying, oh, you're good, you're good, you're good, you're so good. You're a wonderful father. I realized I wasn't actually believing, even though I was doing the right thing, I wasn't actually believing. I said, I could hardly believe that you could do it, you know? I'm over the top. I'm usually over the top anyway, but don't worry about that. That day I was absolutely ecstatic. And in my joy and in my praise, Holy Spirit whispered to me, do you know, I find the most poignant things that God speaks into my life is at a moment when I am open. Not when I'm desperate, when I'm open. And the Holy Spirit spoke into my life and he said, you're missing it, Jill. Missing it? And I said, but Father, don't you like me praising you? Don't you like me calling you good? Because what you've just done, it's amazing, it's amazing, amazing. And he said again, you're missing it, Jill. Well, I don't know about you, but I have learned that if he says something, he knows what he's talking about, and I don't, because I don't understand. His ways are above my ways. All of our ways. We can't box him in. It's impossible. So I said, okay, if you say I'm missing it, what am I missing, Lord? And he said, I want you to think back to the beginning of this week. You never were ecstatic and saying God is so good like you're doing it today. I said, no, of course not, because I hadn't experienced the results of all those prayers, of those impossible situations. He said, that's it, Jill. You're missing it. Because if you only see me as good because of what I do or what I've done or what you think I will do, you're missing it. Because my goodness is me. And if you eliminate the goodness of God from the person of God, then when things aren't good, and we all know that those things happen, don't we? Then you're going to be struggling to come to a place of faith. And immediately I said, Father, I am so sorry. I understand what you're saying. And I'm talking to him backwards and forwards, and I'm saying, I really do believe that you're good. But something kind of sparked me off there. It was like I took off like a rocket. He said, yes. But I want you to experience my goodness in a new and a deeper way. Because when you do, your life will go in a higher dimension. Your ministry will go in ways that I will direct. I will be able to release my supernatural power through you in another dimension, something you have not experienced. And I'm thinking, oh, that's good, Lord. He said, but more important, I will be able to give to my people my goodness through you. And I'm thinking, oh, wow. Now, all of us say, don't we? God is good. And all the time. We say it. We sing it. Those songs were fantastic. And to a measure, we believe it. But you know what? There's another dimension of his goodness that will carry us through situations that we can't understand. It will carry us into areas where we've never been before. Oh, I'd forgotten all about the books. Never mind. They're on the table there. Some of you will have had them before. Please do have them. They are a blessing. Oh, I should say, quickly, I'd gone digital. I didn't know what that meant. But there are a few. Each book now is not only on CDs, but they are on USBs. When I say it, sometimes I say UCBs, and they're not. It's USBs. But you can put them into your computer or into your fancy car, or I'm told if you have an adapter, you can put them into your phone as well. I think it's a miracle that all a book can be on a little thing like a stick, you know. Amazing. Those things are on that table there. So Holy Spirit, oh Lord, please will you help me and help all of us to draw so close to you that your goodness will ooze over us and into our lives and transform us from where we are to where you want us to be, to give us new perceptives, to give us new dreams, fulfill the dreams that haven't yet come true, and Father, to do the things that only you can do. I thank you that you sent the Holy Spirit. I'm so grateful, Lord. So we're going to Psalm 34. Surprise, surprise. And for anybody that has not come across the Passion Translation, I really recommend it. Dr. Brian Simmons is a brilliant revivalist who's planted churches, seen them grow, and then in the latter years, he said, Lord, what would you like me to do? And the Lord said, translate the whole Bible. Aren't you glad you weren't summoned to do that? I am. But this man is called to do this, and the Passion Translation is all the New Testament at the moment, all Proverbs, all Psalms, all Song of Songs. He's now got Isaiah out, almost finished Genesis, and it's on the way. But it's releasing a passion. It's not instead of, but it's alongside to give a new passion. And as I read this beginning part of Psalm 34, and it's you listen if or see it with your own version that you've got, it's headed God's goodness. And that's what we need to experience today, God's goodness, isn't it? Amen? So it begins. In yours, it will say, I will bless the Lord at all times. Well, that's good. How about this? Lord, I'm bursting with joy over what you've done for me. Are you bursting with joy because of what God has done for you? If you're not, you will never overflow the goodness of God to other people. We need to change, be different, and burst with joy for what he's done for you. Because frankly, you may think he's still got lots to do, but actually he's done it all already. Amen? We just have to walk into what he's already done. Amen? So, Lord, I'm bursting with joy over what you've done for me. My lips are full of perpetual praise. I'm boasting of you and of all your works. So let all who are discouraged take heart. I'm not going to ask. How many people are here discouraged today? I'm not going to ask. But if you are, let all who are discouraged take heart. Take hold of the goodness of God today, and it will change everything. Join me, everyone. Let's praise the Lord together. Let's make him famous. Don't you think he's done enough to deserve to be made famous? I do. I can't think of anybody else that's ever done anything more. Amen. Let's make his name glorious to all. Have you ever wondered why people don't use Allah or Buddha or Muhammad as a swear word? But they use our beloved Jesus as a swear word. Let us, the ones that know what he's done in our lives, make his name famous. Make his name glorious. So when you hear it blasphemed, like I had to do on one occasion many, many years ago. I had to say to my ex-husband, who would be blaspheming, please don't use the name of Jesus. He's my lover, my savior, my Lord, and my master. And from that moment on, he never, ever did use that name in my hearing at all. It took courage to say it. I remember, Skippy, you had to do it when you were working in an old people's home. A woman that blasphemed all the time. And he took courage and he said, please don't use the name of Jesus. And explained who he was. And she said, I'm so sorry. And she never, ever used that name in his presence again. We have to make his name glorious and famous. Verse 4, listen to my testimony. I cried to God in my distress, and he answered me, and he freed me from all my fears. Maybe I'm a little bit old-fashioned. I hope I'm old-fashioned in the right way, Lord, and not in the wrong way. But you know, there used to be times in the gospel services where testimony was given and people would run up to get right with God. I don't know if you and I realize the power of our testimony. Our testimonies is how we overcome by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. We should be giving our testimony out in the supermarket, out wherever we are, in the cafe. You know, when you're inviting your friends that aren't Christians to lunch, ask them their story, and then they'll probably tell you all the miseries of their life. Most people do. Now then, hear what God has done for me. We have a power in our testimony. And this is David. David was at the worst time in his whole life, and he's talking about the goodness of God. He's lost his best friend, the only friend he had. He's been chased by the king. He's been fleeing from assassins to be killed. He's gone to the cave of Adullam. He's at the lowest point of his life. And there, in the lowest point of his life, he experiences the goodness of God. And I believe that it's possible for all of us to do that. He says, listen to my testimony. I cried to God in my distress, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Gaze on him. Join your life with his, and joy will come. And your faces will glisten with glory. And you'll never wear that shame face again. I am not ashamed. I have no regrets. Whatever was in my life has been redeemed, and it's been redeemed in yours as well. And we are the redeemed of the Lord, and the redeemed of the Lord are glorious for him, absolutely glorious. When I had nothing, this is David, desperate and defeated, I cried out to the Lord and he heard me, bringing his miracle deliverance when I needed it most. And then verse 7. This is one of the instances where the Holy Spirit springs up unnoticed sometimes. The angel of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, stooped down to listen as I prayed. Have you cried with the Lord and suddenly felt the Spirit of the Lord come so close to you that you could almost feel his arms wrapped around you? You could almost feel his breath breathing into you, wiping away your tears, strengthening you when you were weak. I experienced that this week. So it says here with David, the angel of the Lord stooped down to listen as I prayed, encircling me, empowering me, and showing me how to escape. And he will do this for everyone who fears God. So taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen? When you taste, there's an experience, isn't there? When you taste, you can't have it from afar off. And if you taste and see that the Lord is good, it will change everything. It really will. Now, I'm just going to sort of say how much is your spiritual eyes notice something here. Julie's noticed something. Can anybody else notice something? Yes, 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 yes. Something's hidden. Do you know, I'm going to get it out in a minute. The goodness of God is hidden. And it has to be unwrapped. And it has to be explored. The world deserves to know the goodness of God. They see nothing but heartache. They see nothing but trauma, violence, killing, death, don't they? Maybe even in your family, you've seen grandchildren or children whipped away from loving the Lord. And your heart breaks. But I tell you, there's coming a time when the goodness of God is going to ooze through you so much and ooze into the world that's going to affect people. And you won't find it difficult. I believe a revival of the goodness of God and the love of God is going to come in. But you know how it'll come? It'll come through you and me. If we have not experienced it ourselves, you can't give what you haven't experienced. So, the goodness of God is hidden. And even when you pull it out, you can't really see it. Think back to that moment when you were first saved. And if there's anybody here today that's never publicly given your heart and your life and all of your being to Jesus Christ, today you can experience that. We'll come to that. But, you know, God has to be unwrapped. Think back to when you were first saved. Did you understand everything? I didn't. I just knew that something amazing had happened to me. And I fell in love with Jesus Christ. But I didn't understand him. I still don't understand him. But I am still unwrapping him. So, the Lord gave me this illustration. And he said to me, keep them in mind. Taste and see that the Lord is good. It's got to be an experience. It's got to be an encounter. I can talk about it, and you may be able to see that it's affected me or other people that you know. But you can't. There's nothing secondhand in the kingdom of God. It's firsthand. There are no grandchildren in the kingdom of God. Wonderful though they are, and I love them greatly. They are only sons and daughters of the Most High God. So God said to me, take an orange. Well, I didn't have one this morning, so I went to the hotel kitchen and I asked them, could I buy an orange? They said, no. Oh, but we will go and give you one. Hey, listen, you can't buy the goodness of God. You can't buy the grace of God. You can't buy an encounter with him. It's given by the grace of God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. It is given. It's free. Free to everyone that will receive it. Hallelujah. But it's got all the potential. You know about an orange, don't you? Amen? Can you smell anything, Julie? Can you smell anything? Not a lot. And that's what you do with the goodness of God. People can talk about it. You can read it in your word. But something has to happen for you to be able to taste and see. And the way you taste and see is to open it up. Open it up. Skippy, can you come and help me? I'm not going to. There you go. Right. Just hold it for a minute.
hold that. There you go. Right. Okay.
So listen, can all of you see? It's just an illustration. The goodness of God is contained in God. Jesus was sent to the earth as the personification of God's goodness. He is goodness. But for each one of us to taste and see, we have to realize that it's got to be plunged. And it's got to really go in. Now, when did that happen? How were you and I born again? Because Christ on that tree was pierced for you and me. We were born out of his side in a cesarean birth, if you like. And because we believed that God took the sinless Christ and poured all of our sinfulness into him. And in exchange, he poured all of Christ's goodness into us. When you believe that, you are born again. And out of Christ's side came water and came blood. When you taste and you see the goodness of God, it comes into your life. I know, hold on. God, we have to taste and see. When you taste, something happens and you smell. Can you smell it? When we taste and see, we become the fragrance of God. And you know, none of you have tasted this. You're just watching. But you're going to taste it.
It's wonderful.
Amen. Hello! The goodness of God is wonderful. But you have to have it and experience it. Taste, and then you see differently. You taste with the encounter of the goodness of God personally. You drink. The word there, taste, is to drink deeply. That's what it really means. It means take his life into you so deeply that every moment of your life, you'll breathe him out to other people. Then you will see differently. You will see above your circumstances. You will see beyond the difficulties. You will see into his provision. You will see into his protection. You will see into being able to walk by faith where you've never found, you found it so hard. There are people here that you found it so hard to walk by faith. You've tried. You're saying, I will walk by faith. But actually, the goodness of God, when you taste and you see it, enables you to walk by faith in another dimension. It really does. And when I was looking at this, and I'm seeing about it, and the Bible says in Psalm 27, 3 and 4, what would have become of me had I not believed I would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living? What would have become of you and me? Well, please, personally, I'd be in hell. I know that, without any shadow of a doubt. But because I tasted a little bit, a glimpse of hell, I don't want anybody ever to go there again. So if you are needing to taste and see today of the goodness of God, so that your perspective is changed, so you walk with power, that you walk in the supernatural, you walk and trust God, you walk by faith, you walk in prosperity, you walk in the favor, you walk in joy. Oh my goodness, we are so blessed, amen. When you experience the goodness of God, it will bounce off you to other people. Believe me, it does. Excited. What do you do to get them excited here? Listen, this is the best news you could possibly have. Amen? And if nothing can excite you, this ought to. Because the cross is where you look and see the goodness of God expressed. The Father wanted you and me in his goodness. And he said, when he created man, it is very good, wasn't it? Everything else was good. But when he created us, it was very good. And then when Jesus came to the earth, he said, peace and goodwill to men. Jesus came to bring the goodness of God to us. But many of us haven't appreciated, we haven't tasted, we haven't seen, we haven't experienced it. Or if we have, there's still a greater dimension. Shall I tell you, you can never, I read this and I'm beginning to live it. You can never exaggerate the goodness of God. Because you could never, ever, ever say what isn't true about him. He is absolutely good from start to finish. Amen? Father, in his goodness, sent Jesus. Jesus, in his goodness, died. And then they sent the Holy Spirit in goodness to reveal the goodness of God. Now, when I'm pondering on this, I began to see like me, many of us have not tasted and seen, or we've only done it to a measure, okay? And that measure has limited our lives. So I began to ask the Lord, how? And he said, Jill, you've been believing a lie. Oops. Lord, I don't want to believe any lies. I mean, you're absolutely wonderful, you know? He said, how about what you believe about yourself? In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve experienced the goodness of God. Yes? Would you agree with me? No limitations at all right? But the temptation came because they didn't believe what they had. And you and I will limit the goodness of God, and it will curtail our lives, it will limit our lives by believing a lie about ourselves. They did not believe they were made in the image of God. So the temptation came, if you do this, you will be. So these are one of the stumbling blocks to experiencing, taste and see of the goodness of God. So just close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to check with the Lord. Do I believe what you say about me? That I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That you have given me eternal life. That I am a new creation. That the old is gone. And the new is here to stay. That I'm the apple of your eye. That I'm your temple. Oh my, I'm your temple. That I can please you, Father, every moment of my life. That I have all the riches, all the heavenly blessings in the heavenly realm are mine in Christ Jesus. That I'm not poor, but I am rich. Because of what you say, you've given to me. And a million times more than I can mention now. Do you believe that you have those things? If you believe it, then the goodness of God will enable you to walk in it. And if you don't believe it, you're believing a lie. And lies only come from the liar. And his name is Satan. He lies about you and me. He lies about other people. He lies about God. He lies. He's just one hell of a liar. And I do mean that. And a lie will steal your blessings. It will steal the goodness of God from your innermost being. And the only way with a lie is, I renounce all lies. You know, I had to do this. So you can say, Lord, any single thing that I put into my understanding, that I thought that because I didn't experience it, I limited you. Father, I renounce anything that has curtailed me from experiencing your goodness. I renounce anything that Satan's dropped into my life, that I have to suffer, that I have to endure this situation, that you haven't given me everything I need for life and health and goodness through the Lord Jesus Christ. You just connect with God, because a lie will empower Satan in our lives, and it will put a plug on the goodness of God. And he doesn't want that to happen. He wants us to experience his goodness. But I want to tell you, his goodness will always come to us with the love of God. If people say, well, God is good, and you're suffering. We had the experience recently, two people we know gave birth to a dead baby. And you know, some people went to them and say, well, God is good. Just praise God. No? I mean, it's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. That's not our Jesus. How would he deal with it? He always had compassion. He always came to where people were. He never grabbed hold of somebody and said, well, forget about the pain. Pull yourself together. Things will get better. No. He touched people's lives with his goodness. And if we're going to experience that goodness ourselves and give it to others, it's got to come with the love of God. It's got to come with compassion. But you know, there are challenges. Because sometimes we don't have answers with bad situations. Or have you found that, like me? No? What answer can you give to a young mum that's gone full term and the baby's dead? Listen, God is full of love and compassion. He comes down to where we are. And sometimes we try to put him in a place so that we can understand. And we measure God's goodness by what we can cope with. I just want you to shut your eyes just for a moment. Jesus, just reach out and touch that young woman right now. Father, you know I had no idea. All I know is that in your goodness, Lord, you can touch, you can heal, you can bring love, and you can bring answers that no one else can bring. And Father, I want to ask you to stretch your hand to that young woman right now. I'm so sorry, Lord, if I wasn't sensitive to you. But I do want to say this, that the devil comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. God comes to give life and life more abundantly. And sometimes, because we can't answer and we don't have answers, we think that God allows something tragic of loss and pain. I'm telling you this now, it's a lie. God does not stand by and allow pain, suffering, and death. The enemy comes and brings it. Jesus Christ comes to bring solace, comfort, and his goodness. There will always be things that we cannot understand, that we don't have answers for. But we need to settle in our minds that the one who brings disaster, the one that brings pain, the one that kills or steals or destroys is the enemy. And God has called us to release his goodness and his love and his compassion to those people that are hurting. He knows how to do that. Because, you know, there's not one person here that would stand by and see somebody raise a knife to stab somebody, and you stand by and say, well, I'll allow that because I'll be able to show mercy to that person afterwards, would we? Nobody would do that. No human being would stand by and allow some disaster to happen if we could do anything about it. And God does not allow these things by standing by and doing nothing. And I tell you how I know, because at the cross, he allowed all of that to come on his son, because he knew that there would be an answer to the pain, the destruction, the hurt, the tragedies, the loss, everything. He understands. He understands completely and utterly. We see the goodness of God, but when we really experience it, we can give it. And just as that orange was hard to squeeze, so it was hard for Jesus. And so are some of our situations. They're hard. I know. I've given birth to a dead baby. I know. But I know that God was not to blame. I know who stole. And I know that one day I'll see that baby in glory. The goodness of God has no end, no beginning. It has no limitation. But he so, so wants us to experience it. Not as a fuzzy feeling, but as a reality. You know, if we can't experience things in reality, they aren't real to anybody else. They really aren't. really don't know where to go. But, you know, Joseph knew that God, all that he went through, God meant it for good. He settled in his mind. Nehemiah, in his facing of all the problems, he said, the hand of God has come on me for good. And I believe with all my heart that out of tragedy, out of trauma, out of loss, the goodness of God can actually come and transform all of us. I really believe it. David said, I have no good beside you. You, O Lord, are good. He said, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And Jesus said, do you remember to the rich young ruler? Why do you call me good? He said, only one is good. Only God is good. And when Moses said, show me your glory, God said, I'll show you all my goodness to Ab. And that means wrap around, encircling, empowering, empowered by the goodness of God. All I know is that God is able to minister to that young woman. We're not going to emotionally connect, but we're going to release the goodness of God to her right now. So could you stand with me? I want you to think of some moment in your life when God's goodness has come in to that painful situation in your life. And he's wrapped his arms around you and encircled you and empowered you and brought you to a place of escape from condemnation, from blame, into a new sense of his presence. Let the Holy Spirit just breathe his goodness into each one of us now. Some of us have no idea the pain this young woman is going through. Some of us have. But if we've really allowed the goodness of God to touch our lives, compassion and love will flow. Just come, Holy, Holy, Holy Spirit. Let this be a turning point for this young woman, Lord. Let her know that you sent the comforter to comfort. Let her know, Lord, that that baby is safe. Let her, Father, draw from your goodness all that she will need at this moment in time. And for the family, just begin to pray for her. I don't know her name. Just lift Claire up right now. Thank you, Father, that you're not a far off God, but you're so near. You're very near. That you'll breathe afresh into her a hope Father, in your redemptive power, for those that love you and accord according to your purposes, you will turn everything together for good. It's never your design that things are traumatic or bad. But your redemptive power is greater than anything else. So, Father, we release the goodness of God to Claire right now. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Maybe it'll be just keeping her in prayer, keeping the family in prayer. Whatever, however, God releases us to show that goodness of God squeezed out into her life. Thank you. Thank you, Father. I'm just going to ask for one more thing. Personally, I need more of the goodness of God. I need to experience it more. So if there's anybody else that wants to join me here, just come quickly. I'd like to pray, and I'm going to join you, because all of us need more of this incredible goodness. Thank you. Just come quickly. This is not a sign of weakness. This is not a sign of anything other than we recognize our loss, our lack, the more we need. Thank you, Jesus. Just come. Just come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, thank you, Mary. Do you know the way to receive his goodness and experience it is to be softened? Any little place is a little bit on the hard side, or maybe a thought that God just stands by. He doesn't. He didn't. The cross proves that.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good, he's so good to me.
Just lift up your voices.
God is so good, God is so good, God is so good. So good to me. He sent his son.
Yes.
He sent his son. Yes, he did. He sent his son. He's so good to
in his goodness, he's healing people. If you've got a place on your body that is hurting, and just touch it right now. He's sending his healing power right now. In the name of Jesus, just receive that healing power in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Just that headache, that stress, just go right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
Just keep singing that God is good. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you,
Father. Thank you, Father.
He died for me. He died for me. He died for me. He's so good to me. He rose again. He rose again. He rose again. He rose again. He's so good to me. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. And I love him. Yes, I love him.
Declare your love.
Since for me
more.
He bled and died. Oh, I love him. Yes, I love him more than all the world beside.
Father.
Thank you, Jesus. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. 'Twas grace then me saved thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first begun. Thank you, Lord.